Violet took a deep breath and looked Sir in the eye, or at least the part of the cloud of smoke where she thought his eye probably was. "The accident," she said finally, "happened because Klaus was hypnotized."
"What your brother does for a hobby is none of my concern," Sir said, "and it doesn't excuse accidents."
"You don't understand, sir," Violet said. "Klaus was hypnotized by Dr. Orwell, who was in cahoots with Count Olaf."
"Oh, no," Charles said. "You poor children! Sir, we have to put a stop to this." "We are putting a stop to this," Sir said. "You, children, will cause no more accidents, and you'll be safely employed by this lumber mill. Otherwise, out you go."
"Sir," Charles cried, "you wouldn't throw the children out into the street."
"Of course not," Sir said. "As I explained in my memo, I met a very nice young lady who works as a receptionist. When I mentioned there were three children in my care, she said that if you were ever any trouble, she'd take you, because she'd always wanted children of her own."
"Pulse," Sunny cried.
"That's Count Olaf," Violet cried. "Do I look like an idiot to you?" Sir asked, pointing to his cloud. "I have a complete description of Count Olaf from Mr. Poe, and this receptionist looked nothing like him. She was a very nice lady."
"Did you look for the tattoo?" Charles asked. "Count Olaf has a tattoo on his ankle, remember?"
"Of course I didn't look for the tattoo," Sir said impatiently. "It's not polite to look at a woman's legs."
"But she's not a woman," Violet burst out. "I mean, he's not a woman. He's Count Olaf."
"I saw her nameplate," Sir said. "It didn't say Count Olaf. It said Shirley."
"Fitty," Sunny shrieked, which you already know meant that nameplate doesn't prove anything, of course. But Violet did not have time to translate because Sir was pounding his hands on the desk.
"Hypnosis! Count Olaf! Fitty! I've had enough of your excuses," he yelled. "Your job is to work hard at the lumber mill, not cause accidents. I am busy enough without having to deal with clumsy children."
Quickly, Violet thought of something else. "Well, can we call Mr. Poe?" she asked. "He knows all about Count Olaf, so perhaps he can be helpful." Violet did not add that Mr. Poe was not usually a very helpful person.
"You want to add the cost of a long-distance phone call to the burden of caring for you?" Sir asked. "I think not. Let me put it to you in the simplest way I can. If you screw up again, I will give you away to Shirley."
"Now, sir," Charles said, "these are children. You shouldn't talk to them this way. As you remember, I never thought it was a good idea for the Baudelaires to work in the mill. They should be treated like members of the family."
"They are being treated like members of the family," Sir said. "Many of my cousins live there in the dormitory. I refuse to argue with you, Charles. You're my partner. Your job is to iron my shirts and cook my omelets, not boss me around."
"You're right, of course," Charles said softly. "I'm sorry."
"Now, get out of here, all of you," Sir barked. "I have lots of work to do."
Sunny opened her mouth to say something, but she knew it would be useless. Violet thought of something else she could point out, but she knew it would be worthless. And Charles started to raise his hand to make a point, but he knew it would be bootless, a word which here means useless and worthless. So Charles and the two Baudelaires left the dark office without another word and stood for a moment together in the hallway.
"Don't worry," Charles whispered. "I'll help you."
"How?" Violet whispered back. "Will you call Mr. Poe and tell him Count Olaf is here?"
"Ullo?"
Sonny asked, which meant, "Will you have Dr. Orwell arrested?"
"Will you hide us from Shirley?" Violet asked.
"Hennepel?" Sonny asked, which meant, "Will you undo Klaus's hypnotism?"
"No," Charles admitted. "I can't do any of those things. Sir would get mad at me, and we can't have that. But tomorrow, I will try and sneak you some raisins at lunchtime, okay?"
It was not okay, of course. Not at all. Raisins are healthy, and they are inexpensive, and some people may even find them delicious. But they are rarely considered helpful. In fact, raisins were one of the least helpful things Charles could offer if he really wanted to help. But Violet didn't answer him. She was looking down the hallway and thinking. Sunny didn't answer him either because she was already crawling toward the door to the library. The Baudelaire sisters had no time to talk with Charles. They had to figure out a plan, and they had to figure it out quickly. The Baudelaire orphans were in a very difficult situation, and they needed every available moment to come up with something much, much more helpful than raisins.
End of Disc 2.